blessed.
I am so blessed.
These last few days have just been amazing to us. God never ceases to amaze me and what He can do with somebody as simple as me and unworthy as I am. We've been treated so well, and we want to thank all of you. The spirit here has really uplifted us. We didn't know what to expect, but we knew God had something good, and He did. And it's just been a pleasure to be here, to be in Pierre's home, and the hospitality is just wonderful. And then the dinners that with people, and just helping at the yard sale and fellowship. We just felt like we already knew you. It was that easy going. So thank you for that. My life is nothing special, but what God has done in my life continues to amaze me. I grew up in a Christian home, especially my mother. She was very godly. And brought us, I had a brother and a younger brother and an older sister. And we went to church. And we learned what we learned as a child, the different stories, and memorized scripture here and there. And my parents listened to the television a lot of Billy Graham crusades. So I sat there and watched them too. And over time, as I grew, and around age 13, watching those crusades and listening to the simple message that Billy presents, God just was tugging at my heart, saying, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? And it just kept tugging at me until, at the age of 13, in the church that we were in St. Louis. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. And I said, Lord, I listened to what He said, that unless I knew Jesus and admitted that I was a sinner and ask for His forgiveness, that I couldn't live eternally with Him. And that really bothered me. Even as a child, it bothered me. And I said, I need that. I need forgiveness. And I want that forgiveness. And I went forward in the church and I said, I believe that God sent Jesus and put Him on that cross, and He died for my sins so that I would have a way to be restored back to God. A couple years, and as I grew up as a teenager, I was kind of shy, and it was hard for me to relate to people because I was shy. And so I felt bad about that, and I said, I want to be accepted by people. So as I grew, the friends that I had and I met and started running around with kind of got me into worldly things. And I started drinking in high school. because I wanted to be accepted. I didn't like it at first, but I said I was accepted into groups by doing that. So I started doing that in high school. And then when I went to university, I really only drank because it gave me courage. And I was accepted. So I got into it more, and I partied, and I did all these things in college. But by the end of college, I said, well, you know, I need to settle down a little bit. Didn't give up the drinking, but then I got married, had a couple kids that I love, and I started doing what I thought I needed to do in life, and that was raise my family, raise kids, and start a career. I spent 6 years in the Navy, submarines. And unfortunately, in the Navy, even though it had a good structure for me, it continued my drinking and my language was getting bad. And I was just kind of conforming to the world around me. And when I did go to church, I didn't go to church much then. I got out of church, and I guess it was because church kind of convicted me a little bit, kind of said, what you're doing is not good. So I would stay away, and that way I could rationalize things the way I wanted to. And I became very selfish and internal to myself. And so I started a career, and after the Navy and raising our kids, and I thought, well, as long as I do good things, I believe God will be okay with me. And I'd go to church here and there. And when I read scripture here and there, sometimes it would say, what you're doing is not right, but I would rationalize it. I would say, well, it's not so bad in my case. And I would make excuses for it. And for a good bit of my life, I thought, well, God expects me to take care of myself and to raise a family and do things myself. So I became very controlling, and I thought as long as I was in control of things, everything would be okay. But over 30 years, I felt like, well, I am in control. I'm rising up in my company. But one problem was my wife and I both were not in church, and we didn't have the Lord in our life, and He wasn't leading it. So we both got into our careers, and we grew apart that way over the years. And we raised our kids up in the high school, and one in college, and I thought everything was going fine. And when one day my wife comes home and says, well, I've met somebody else, and I think I want to go this way. And my world came crushing down, and it came apart, and I lost her to someone else. But during that time, I went to my knees, and I realized I am not in control of anything. You, God, are, and I need You. I didn't know how to get back, but at that time I said, God, I don't know how, but I want to follow You. And I went to my knees and I prayed, just help me back to You. And for a couple of years, my wife said, well, I'm just going to see this man, and we won't tell the kids, and we'll keep it undercover, and we won't bother them about it. Well, I tried that for a while, and I even went to a pastor who gave me some advice about how to get our marriage back together, and what was called unconditional love. And I tried that and did come back, she said. But then after a few months, she would go back to him. So that was just, it felt like I was in a box. I couldn't tell anybody. Nobody else knew. And I just felt like I was living a lie. And I couldn't stand that any longer. And finally, I got to the point where I got some advice from a pastor again. And he said, well, if she won't come back, you need to just say, I'm going to move on. If you want to come with me, I'm here. But I'm moving on in my life. So that's what I had to do. And unfortunately, she didn't come with me. So then we had to tell the kids. And that was, one was in high school, one first couple years into college. And I thought maybe they could take it okay, but it was devastating to them. And I lost my relationship with them for several years after that because of having to tell them that we were breaking up. And so I said, Lord, well, I need you. I need you to guide me. And he brought a family, a church family around me. The family didn't know me, but I knew one of the daughters of that family that I had worked with. And that family just unconditionally gave me love, put their arms around me. And during that time, God started teaching me in Bible study. I started going to church with him. And in Bible study, I started hearing what it takes to give my life fully over to him, to surrender to him, surrender everything. And that's what would give me peace in my life again. And so as I listened to sermons, as I listened in Bible study and listened to God's Word, the Spirit was convicting me again that you need to just surrender it all to me. And in September of 1991, I was in a service. I sat toward the back because I didn't want to be drawn to go down and give my life. I made excuses, sat in the middle of the aisle, and so I couldn't get out. But the messages kept speaking to me directly, so strong that finally I couldn't stand it any longer. I was so miserable. I had to go down, and I stumbled over people to get out the aisle, to get there. I remember the song that was being sung, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling for you and for me. See, in the portals, he's waiting and calling for you and for me. And then it says, come home. Oh, come home. And that just wrenched me right there. I said, I do, Lord. I want to come home. I've been away for 30 years. I want to come home. I need you. And I give my life to you. And I fell over myself getting down there. And it was a fairly good-sized church, a couple hundred people, 200 to 300 people in our church. And to do that was kind of intimidating to me, but it was just overwhelming. And when I went down and I stood there and I said that I give my life to Jesus, that I believe that God forgives my sins because I am a sinner, and that he went to the cross for me and died for my sins so that I could be restored to God and that I could have eternal life with him. And at that moment, I felt just really tense and stressed, but it just, became so calm. It was like a load lifted off of me, And I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And it was just like I had peace and joy. And I said, okay. And I was baptized because I wanted to follow him in every way. I wanted to give my life totally to him. And so from that point on, I said, God, I'm here, but I don't know how to do this. I've been out of your word. I don't know your word well. And so he worked with me. He said, just follow me. And in Bible studies, I started learning the word of God in a way I had never known before. I used to rationalize things, and now when it spoke to me, I said, yes, that's me. And I need to change that. That was repentance. I needed to turn from that and go toward him. And that's what I started doing. I still stumbled along the way. But God started restoring my life. He brought into my life Debbie. Who I'd said, Lord, I don't know that I deserve another relationship, but I'm lonely. I would like to have somebody that I could share my life with, but this time I want somebody who knows you, and that our relationship would be focused on you. And I didn't know that he was working on her too, the same way. And he brought us together through some friends that we knew that connected us. And we both went out the first time, and we didn't know what to expect. We thought, you know, just going to be friends talking. But we kept talking. After a year, it was a relationship that we said we wanted to get married. And so we were married. And the journey that God has taken us on in the last 21 plus years has been amazing. I thought I had a life before, and I thought I was in control, but and people I've heard before say, you know, the Christian life is boring. Absolutely not. That 30 years was boring, except for raising my kids. When I over these last 20 years, God has taken us on a journey in ministry together, and we prayed about it in the beginning. We say, Lord, if all possible, can we work together in ministry? And he has brought us together in that. We've been around the world in other countries, in our community. Outside of our church, we're in ministry with people. I work with men in the jail on a weekly basis doing a Bible study. And I tell them, I say, guys, I don't know why I'm here except that Jesus called me to come here. And that what I bring to you is not me. It's Jesus. All I'm doing is sharing how he changed my life and pointing you to him, that he can do it for you too. So it's been an amazing journey, and God, we've had ups and downs. I have a relationship with my kids. They thought I went into a cult when I became saved, but that's the heartbreak that I have right now, is that I see in them where I was during that time. But now I'm a witness, and I've lived it out for 20 years in front of them now, so it's not something that came and went. So they're starting to connect back with me, and especially our grandchildren. We're able to witness to them. And And those little ones soak it up quick. And they love it. And then my prayer is that they witnessed to mom and dad. And where I may not be able to get through, they will. But they see the benefit of it. So, again, God has taken us on a wonderful journey. I feel like I am living abundant life, and this is what it's about. So we just keep looking forward to what's next. And this is part of what's next, and coming up here. And it's been amazing, and I know he's going to bless our lives through you all. And we thank you for that, for the blessing that you've been to us already. So that's pretty much where I came from and how I got here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brad.